I am the Ascended Master Archangel Michael. I am grateful to be able to open this conference, which we obviously see as a continuation of the three previous conferences we have given this year. Communism, what is it? Well, what is it other than a dictatorship? So this ties in perfectly with our conference in Korea, where we talked about ending the era of dictatorships. What is the state of mind that is created by communism, at least in those people who buy into the lies of communism? Well, is it not fanaticism? So therefore, tying in perfectly with our conference in Holland on fanaticism. And contrary to the claims made by communism of creating a classless society, everybody who has lived under a communist system knows that there is no classlessness. There is an elite of the party elite. So therefore, that ties in perfectly with our U.S. conference on ending the era of elitism. Communism embodies all three of these qualities: dictatorship, fanaticism, elitism. Therefore, we are grateful that you have been willing to come here, participate on the webinar, in order to give this, we might say, final impetus to accomplish the goals that we wanted to accomplish for this year. Truly, we could say that this conference, the dictations we will give, represents an opportunity for all of the nations who were under communism and those who still are, even though you can discuss whether there are any nations who are still under a strictly communist system, as I am sure you can all see that if Karl Marx could see what has happened in China since opening up to trade from the West, he would be, so to speak, rotating in his grave. Nevertheless, the opportunity here is that you who are here, who are participating in this conference, can create a powerful impulse that goes into the collective consciousness and therefore gives all of the people who have been influenced by the communist system an opportunity to step back and rethink, reevaluate, process the experience. Why is this important? Well, my beloved, how can you ever be free of something until you look at it consciously, overcome the wounds, the lies, the illusions, and consciously make a decision to move forward? If you look at some of the nations, for example, the Baltic countries and Eastern Europe, you will see that since the fall of communism, as you say, many of these countries have made tremendous progress in terms of growing the economy, providing better jobs, providing better and freer living conditions for the people. And so you see that much progress has been made. But you also see that in many of these nations, as you, for that matter, also see in the Western nations, there's an increase in mental illness, there's an increase in depression, substance abuse, various forms of escapism. And why is that? Why do you see this tremendous growth on the one hand, but also the increase in mental disorders of many kinds? Well, is it not easy enough, at least for you who are Ascended Master students, to put the two together and realize that when you know and accept reincarnation as a reality, many of the people who today are young people in these formerly communist nations have reincarnated, and in their past lifetime, they were persecuted, perhaps executed by the communist regime. So does it not stand to reason that if you have been brutally murdered or put in concentration camps by a communist regime, then in your next lifetime you are born with tremendous psychological traumas and burdens that you need to find a way to deal with, to process, and to overcome? How can people do this? Well, you can do it by following the spiritual path. You can do it to some degree by pursuing individual therapy. But how many people are doing this? So how could it be done in these nations? Well, it could be done if these nations were willing to stand back and say, let's not ignore our past. Let's not forget that we had a recent past where we were suppressed by this highly dictatorial system. Let's look at this. Let's have a debate about it. Let's talk openly about it and process that experience so we can move forward. You see that if this was done on a collective basis, it would be easier for people individually to heal their traumas. This isn't to say that people wouldn't need individual healing and therapy. They would. But nevertheless, what you see now in most of these nations in Eastern Europe is this cone of silence. It's almost like communism is a taboo that nobody really wants to talk about. It was a bad experience. Everybody agrees it was bad, but it's behind us now, so let's just move forward. But my beloved, you can't move forward if you're not willing to look back and process what happened and how this influenced you. There is no nation that has been under a communist rule, especially those who were part of the Soviet Union or the Warsaw Pact, who do not have very, very severe traumas in the collective consciousness. Now, naturally, what we are saying here applies to all nations who were under a communist system, including Russia, including other Soviet republics in the East. But it is clear that the Baltic nations, the Eastern European nations who are part of the Warsaw Pact, they have more of an opportunity, more of an awareness to rise beyond this, to be among the first who break the ice and dare to actually look at this. You will see that in Germany, after the end of the Second World War, there was a similar state where for decades the German people, the German nation, were not really willing to look at what happened under Nazism, to look at the era of Hitler and talk about this openly. But you will also see that there came a period after a few decades where this started very gradually to soften up. There was more of a debate, there was more of a talk about it, and that's why we can look at Germany today and see that they have made more progress than many of the nations who were under communism, because there has been some willingness to debate it. And this is why you also see the corresponding economic progress in Germany, because they are all interconnected. There cannot be true economic progress unless there's a progress in the collective consciousness. And there cannot be progress in the collective consciousness unless you look at your past and deal with it. You cannot escape the era of communism by ignoring it. It will not go away by itself. And so what you, of course, can make the calls for, those of you who live in these nations, what you can envision, is that there will be some willingness, because I tell you that there is no reason to wait as long as Germany waited before you are starting to debate this. The faster you start debating it, the quicker you will make progress. And so I know these are sensitive issues, and many people would rather ignore them, but you understand that there will always be a resistance from the collective consciousness towards progress. Any kind of progress, any new initiative, must break through resistance in the collective consciousness. It's not necessarily always a conscious resistance or a deliberate resistance. But what we said, and what I said in Korea in my dictation about dictatorships, was precisely this. A dictator always has the consent of the governed, but the people are not always consciously aware that they are giving their consent to the dictator. They are not consciously aware of this, and therefore this lack of conscious awareness is what creates the resistance in the collective consciousness to change. People are not conscious, It's not that they are deliberately and consciously resisting change, but at a subconscious level they are. So you can have a people, and you have this here in Eastern Europe, you have it in the Baltic nations, who are consciously saying, we want progress. You can see in the nation of Estonia, for example, where there are people who said that before Soviet occupation, Estonia was further along in growth than Finland. And when communism fell, Estonia was 30, 40 years behind Finland. And there is a desire in the Estonian nation to catch up or even get ahead again. But how can you catch up? How can you get ahead when there is a subconscious resistance in the collective consciousness towards change? And it's subconscious resistance because you haven't looked at it. You haven't made it conscious. You haven't looked at what happened during communism, how it affected you, what are these very subtle lies that a communist system programs into the subconscious minds of the people and therefore programs into the collective consciousness. You will see, of course, that if you look at all nations, including the so-called most modern nations in the West, you will see that there is also a subconscious resistance to change in many cases. And that's because there is not an awareness of the collective consciousness. In fact, there is in the collective consciousness a resistance towards people becoming aware of the existence of the collective consciousness. Because these beasts, these entities that have been created in the collective consciousness, do not want to be exposed. Because they know that if people see how these beasts are controlling them, then they will want to be free of that control. And therefore, they are trying to stay unconscious so that the people are not aware how they are being affected. That is why, for you individually, when you think back to when you first realized there was a spiritual path, there was an alternative to the normal, quote-unquote, state of living in your society, you will see that you always felt that there was some resistance. Something was resisting your growth. Something maybe still is resisting your growth. There is something in your subconscious mind that's pulling you back. You might take one step forward, but then slide backwards again. And this is precisely the collective consciousness of the country you are living in. That's why there is a period on the spiritual path, as we have talked about before, as this messenger has described in his own experience, where the main thrust for your growth is actually to free yourself from the pull of the collective consciousness. You need to pull yourself above that. And that is why for many of you it has required a period where you have been very diligent with giving decrees and invocations, because it was the practical way, the most efficient way for you to raise yourself above the collective consciousness. That's why there can also come for you a point where you realize now you need to shift your focus. Now you need to go more within and start looking more at these subtle beliefs. And that's why we've given you the teachings and tools for resolving the cosmic birth trauma, the separate selves. But I would also point out that our series, which is now complete, of going through the seven rays, of the initiations of the rays, and all of these books that have been released, they are a very, very effective tool for raising yourself above the collective consciousness. You cannot hardly give all of those tools, give all of the invocations in the books, and work your way through this path to self-mastery without raising yourself above the mass consciousness. Maybe not totally, as you may still have some birth trauma to resolve, but nevertheless, it is a very effective tool for coming to that point where you are not pulled down by the collective consciousness. Of course, when you get to that point, you can, and many of you are already there, you can give the calls that other people will be cut free from this downward pull of the collective consciousness so that you can move forward. And then you can help the next level of people. We from the ascended realm, we look at a particular nation. And we see that in that nation, there is a small number of people who have the potential to become aware of the spiritual path and start walking that path of raising their consciousness. They are the forerunners. But we also see that when that group of people have come to a certain level, you now have the option to make the calls so that the next ring of people can be cut free to walk, to discover the path, to walk the path. And then it can spread like rings in the water from that point. But somebody needs to be the forerunner, somebody needs to make the calls for others, and then we can gradually have a spreading of awareness. And this is the only practical way to do it, given this very strong pull of the collective consciousness. Now, if you look at these nations here in Eastern Europe, you will see that there has been a tremendous shift in the collective consciousness since the fall of communism. And it is brought about by many things, not just spiritual people, but all people who are looking in a different direction, who are suddenly thinking that maybe they have an opportunity now. Maybe they can make an effort and they'll be rewarded for their effort. Maybe they can have a better material lifestyle. It can be all of these seemingly worldly and mundane things, but it still creates a shift in the collective consciousness. But what you also have to realize is that there is a certain cloud of fear-based energy that was generated during communist times, and it hasn't been dissolved. It hasn't been transformed. It has been covered over by this layer of optimistic energy, but it's still there, and it's still pulling on many people, and it's still pulling them down. You will see that especially some of the older generation find it difficult to adjust to the changes that have happened, and that's because they lived for longer during the communist times, during the fear-based times, and therefore they are not free from that fear-based energy. Many of the younger people were not as affected by it. They have been able to more quickly adjust, and therefore they are not as tied into it. But it's still there, and it's still affecting the nation, and it still means that whenever you try to make progress towards some area, there's something that pulls you back, that pulls the nation back, and you are not making the progress you could be making. And you would see that in all of these nations, there are people who are more aware, who are looking at society, who are analyzing things, and they are sometimes wondering, why is it that we are doing all the same things that they were doing in the West 20 or 30 years ago, but it's not working the same way. It's not working as fast, or it doesn't even sometimes have the effect that it had in the West. Why is that? We are seemingly doing everything right on the outer, but it isn't working quite the same way. And these people cannot understand it, and the reason they can't understand it is that there is that pull from the collective consciousness that you haven't freed yourself from. And the only way to do it is through a conscious debate on the national level, where you are willing to look at this, process it, and realize that you cannot just walk away from your past. You cannot ignore it. It will continue, you will continue to drag it with you until you turn around and look at it and consciously process it, because only then can you cut the tie. It is as if you are walking up a mountain, but you have a rope tied around your waist that's tied to this heavy sack that contains all of these stones, and you are dragging that bag of stones up the mountain, and you are trying to look forward and look at the top of the mountain. But if you would just spend a little time and attention to turn around, look at the sack of stones, reach in there, take out a stone, look at it, and see why you don't need it anymore, and then let it roll down the mountain, then you could empty that sack of stones and you could make much faster progress. Now, in a sense, you could say, you could look at communist times and see why were things the way they were? Why was it so heavy? Why didn't you have bread in the stores? Why wasn't the economy working? Why was life the way it was? It was because, again, you had that very heavy weight in the collective consciousness that was pulling everyone down. That heavy weight was created by the communist system. It was the only way a communist system could be created, because it can only be created through force. And by the very fact that they used force to create the communist system, they created this weight, which then made sure that the communist system could not work, that the economy could not function. It was not sustainable in the long run. And it could never raise people in a communist system above a certain standard of living. Therefore, the promises made by the communist ideology could never be fulfilled, because the system was created through force. It was doomed from the very beginning, not by a historical necessity, but by a spiritual necessity. And these are things that you could benefit from looking at, and then looking at what it was in the psyche of the nation that made it possible for the communist system to be enforced. But this is something I will let other masters talk about as we progress. What I want to give you is our gratitude for your willingness to be here. And as we have said before, by you coming together for a conference, your chakras, your auras become broadcast stations for going into the collective consciousness. And I know that some of you will feel in the beginning of this conference that there is a weight, there is a heaviness. But this is that resistance from the collective consciousness. And I can assure you that as we move through these next days, you will work through it, and you will personally raise yourself above that downward pull. And therefore, you will be able to live in one of these post-communist nations without having the post-communist trauma. And this will be a great freedom for you individually, and it can also create an important impetus for freeing your nation and other people around you from this heavy burden of this communist system. I can assure you that we all from the ascended realm have very great compassion for the people who were under this very heavy weight and who are still affected by it, and we would consider it a great joy, and we would feel great love if we were allowed to help free all of these nations so that they could move forward and create a golden age future for your nations. So with this, my gratitude and my love of the first rays.